This is the In the Black podcast.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is what it is. All right. Right about now. Oh, I was about to jump into the end of the show. We just started this motherfucker. God damn. Okay. All right. Here we are.
You still got
smoke
in your lungs though?
I mean, no, man. My man, he's an ambi.
Shit, this motherfucker charbroiled over there. What the fuck is going on?
Shit.
I told my daughter before we started this joint, I said, listen, come here. I said, baby, do you see my face? And she came downstairs all giddy, right? She came downstairs all giddy. And I said, baby, do you see my face? And she said, yes. I said, let this be evidence to you that your dad would die for you, okay? And she's like, yes, daddy.
Bro, listen.
What the hell?
I don't believe in a literal figurative hell. But if there's a place such as that, you are going with gasoline draws on and a lighter in your hand.
You are a special one.
Because that is the most egregious.
You know what? Wait, Elgin. Elgin, there's only one explanation.
This thing is the most egregious.
Elgin, there's one explanation, bro. The Nigerian culture, man.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're going to sound like the reverse hashtag.
This is the hidden nuance of Nigerian culture right here.
Yeah. We're going to get them. We're going to get them hashtag folks on the line.
This is how they tell you how to raise your children. Through sheer guilt.
Listen, Crush.
Through mountains of guilt.
I want to be mad at you.
Mountains.
But I.
Oh, no, bro. This is your response and approach to this was purely Nigerian.
I can't. I said, I want to be mad,
you
but
know
there's no lies. There's no lies detected.
No.
You see this amputated arm, son? Like, I almost died for you in this country.
Oh, bro. The absolute guilt.
My mom, I'll tell you. Listen, my mom, one time she told me, she said, do you know what I went through to give birth to you guys? I was in school. She said, I was in teacher's college. I was working. And I walked 6 miles from the teacher's college back home. And it was because of that 6 mile walk that pushed you out. And you know, I didn't have epidural and I did it natural. Man, my mom, she be doing it, boy. So I was like, Crush, I want to be mad. Man. But I can't because there's no lies detected, my guy.
I mean,
no lies detected.
We can talk about that for hours.
I mean, I know, bro. Yes. I mean, welcome. What's up?
I got a book for you right here.
Don't give me no books. This is the In the Black podcast. In case you weren't aware, this is a podcast dedicated to
covering the long term effects of childhood adversity.
Shut the fuck up. You are an asshole. Whatever,
guys.
In case you weren't aware, this is the podcast dedicated to cover the current events and social issues going on in your black world and covering it all from the perspective of three grown-ass men who love their kids. I am your host, Big O, Mr. In the Black himself. But you know, I could never do this alone. Let me introduce the rest of my daycare crew. Crush, what's going on, man?
What's good, everybody? Little Mermaid.
Eldrin. Eldrin, what is going on, sir?
Bro, I don't know. You scared the hell out of me tonight, my guy. I don't know.
Whatever,
I mean,
damn. This nigga's response was, damn, nigga, you extra crispy tonight. What happened to you?
That was after I went
like,
through. I was like, are the kids okay? Is the wife okay? Is the house okay? And once
mind
I got
you,
to
he didn't,
you, it was like.
Mind you, he didn't ask shit about me, nigga. No, he went through everybody else. It was
because
like,
you're on camera on a podcast.
Well, you're alive.
We know where your priorities lie. Okay. We're clear.
As long as the dude is breathing and talking, we're just fine.
Yeah, Elgin, I fucking hate you so much. If you are checking this out on YouTube, make sure you hit the thumbs up, finesse that thing, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on the next episode. Please follow us across social media at In the Black PDCST on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And come on over to our show, to our website, so you can check out past episodes of the show. And if you want to become part of the family, come on over to our Patreon. We're doing bigger and better things over there, so make sure you check that out as well. Now, we are jumping into our black box letter for tonight. It's actually an interesting one, so I want to get you guys' opinion. Black box letter from tonight comes from Taylor, and Taylor says, hey guys, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I love how you guys talk about relationship topics. And I've heard you talk about finances on occasion, but I don't recall ever hearing you talk about finances in relationships before. I'm 34 years old and I've been married for going on 5 years now. I recently got a bump in my salary, so I finally hit the low sixes. When it comes to money, I've never been frivolous with my money, but I've always been of the mind, if you don't take risks, you're not going to get rewards. So making investments here and there, selling stuff on eBay and Facebook Marketplace, it's always been my thing. I've always been a grinder. I've always hustled. My wife, on the other hand, has always been conservative with her money. Very conservative. So when she asked me what the plans were with the additional income, I told her that I would save more and invest a lot more, trying out different ventures. As you can imagine, the fact that I'm talking to you about this, it didn't go over well. So I gotta know, what do you guys suggest doing when you and your partner don't see eye to eye on the financial direction of your household? Thanks, TaylorMade. So
Taylor, let me ask you the first question. Who wants to go first? Are you guys married?
Yeah, he's married. He said 5 years, like almost 5 years.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. What? And I guess, damn, Taylor, the question, bro, is did you have the conversation about finances before you put a ring on it? If you guys did not have a conversation about the way finances, child rearing, religious beliefs, all those things before you put a ring on it, you opened up yourself to a long and incredibly difficult conversation and situation where you're ultimately going to have to make some sort of sacrifice and compromise in order to allow the marriage and the relationship to be fruitful and to go in a positive direction. So I think there's a level of compromise here that you guys can do. I think you, if this is what you want to do based off of the way you and your relationship are built, if you want to have a sense of partnership in this dynamic, you can say to your partner, hey, I'm making $400 extra a month. I want to take half of that to go do my risky shit that I like to do. The other half I'll put in our collective account to do whatever with. Or, baby, I love you so much. I'll take two to go do the risky shit. I put 100 in the family joint account, and you can have 100, and you can go enjoy your time and do whatever the hell you want to do with your money. I think there has to be a level of compromise here because of your marriage dynamic. Now, if you were single, my guy,
completely
we'd be having a completely different conversation.
Yes, sir. But
the fact that you put yourself in a position where, and I don't know the dynamics of your relationship, how you guys work finances, whether you guys have joint accounts, mm-hmm. whether you have separate accounts, because I think all those things play a factor.
Yep.
If you guys have separate accounts and there's one account where you guys use just to pay bills, oh, bro, you may not have to compromise then, because you guys have set up a dynamic where as long as the bills are paid, you can do whatever you want to with the money. It literally depends on how you guys have your financial situation set up. But actually, at the same time, bro, if you just find a way to compromise, man, in order to just keep the beefing down. It's money, right? It's nothing worth a relationship ending for. I think she asked a valid question. I think she asked a fair question. I don't think she was wrong for asking that question. Mm-hmm. And I can understand.
From a malicious place either.
So. No, and I can understand her pushback. I can understand her feeling, you know, because again, we're living in a completely different world financially, a world that's growing more and more difficult from a financial standpoint. So I understand how women in particular would want you to begin to save more, to put more to the side and do those things. I don't know if you got kids. There's a whole lot of different variables here, but just compromise, bro. It ain't worth fucking arguing about.
Yeah, no bullshit. Crush, what about you, man?
Well, you know, from how he describes his household and the financial acumen of both partners, I would definitely speculate that the house is financially sound, and it has been for some time. Any concern that she expresses is probably from habit, to be honest with you, in my honest opinion. What seems to be the case here is you've been able to, exercise your investments without affecting the financial structure of the household.
Yeah.
However, now that you're enjoying increased income, you're seeing an opportunity. And she is, of course, is aware of the extra income and, you know, it has her concerns, you know, of you using it in a way that she didn't expect. She may have, you know, it's either of two things. Either there is a, either she has not found a way to, or maybe she recently came into a concern or an interest that she wants to explore financially when, and had, just didn't find that, it was just kind of thrown off the car, off guard at that moment, that you can articulate what she wanted to say in regards to that. Or it's really a case where, and this is very possible, you know, even after 5 years, that you may need to, you know, you may say, hey, babe, wait a minute, you know, do you know what I'm investing in? Do you know why I'm investing? Do you know how much and how long I've done this and how well I've done and where I failed? Let's go down the line. From my day one investment and what happened and why at this time with you I want to go through this investment and this one and this one. It sounds like y'all need to. I'm not saying educate her, but I think you might want to bring her into the fold. And give her the full presentation of the where, the where's and the why for us, because, you know, conservative people just need to be informed. Yeah, they just need to know what's going on to make, because she may come back at you. She may come back at you and say, wait a minute, I understand what you want to do, but I just realized that I think I want a new house. I didn't realize it, but I'm realizing new money. Oh, wait a minute, I think I want a new house, baby. Not until this discussion comes up do you realize, you know, because these thoughts come in, you know, as couples, all kinds of thoughts floating out of our heads of plans and ideas, and you put little pins in them in your brain, like, oh, I did see a nice house, a nice car, but she's conservative, so she's shuffling that shit away and keeping her eyes on the prize, but keeping the house sound, which it sounds like it's been sound for 5 years, so... It sounds like you either need to just, you know, take her through why's and wherefores your investment, or maybe, you know, she needs to express, like, wait a minute, do you have something in mind for extra money in the house right now?
Yeah,
and maybe we need to, you know, maybe there's something that you haven't been able to articulate, you know what I'm saying? Because asking for a new house right now is kind of a tall order. You know, this is an example.
I think that what Eldrin was saying before, there's so much to unpack within this conversation. And we, like Eldrin always is prone to say, we go into these conversations, into these letters, only getting a portion of what is actually happening. So we try to be as fair and as rational as possible based on what we know. But let's take a step back, man. When you're dealing with a conservative person, that conservatism comes from somewhere, right? It just doesn't get spawned out of thin air.
It's influenced.
She could be coming from
a history of lack.
My guy, that was where I was going. She could be coming from a place where she ain't never had it.
Right?
And when you know when you've never had, you hold tight on it every single bit that you've got. So the thought of you being riskier, loose with it, and I mean I'm using that term flippantly, but being loose or frisky with your it can scare somebody who's never had from anything, man. When you've got a plan months in advance to do the simplest things, man. So I can understand her being conservative. But in the same token, man, this is something that I think that if you had properly laid the groundwork for earlier in your relationship, you may not have had this conversation. Maybe she sees you doing this, like the Facebook flipping and doing X, Y, and Z, but you've never laid out the details to her. So all she knows is, nigga, you just taking money and you doing X, Y, and Z with it, and she's not necessarily seeing the magnification or the
end result. Or the full picture. The full picture.
What you've been doing. So you got to break it all out to her, man. Or if worse comes to worse and this happens, and I'm going to keep it 100% funky with you. It's happened in our household. When you deal with somebody who's slightly more conservative than you are with money, if it's really that serious, sometimes you need to go about it. Sometimes you got to go about it on your own, right? And then ask for forgiveness instead of asking for permission.
Oh, I'm not saying God, that you
do
that. What?
Listen, I'm not You're saying that you do that.
Go ahead.
Listen,
do it.
Listen. This is what I'm talking about.
I don't know if this concept applies to To our women, bro. I don't know. Listen to
what I'm saying. I'm trying to break it down for you.
Help us. You're making me sweat in my chest.
Don't ask for permission. Listen to what I'm saying.
So
your wife is not going to listen to this episode, by the way.
This might be the last episode.
It gets lost in the tapes.
This might be the last
episode. I wouldn't be surprised if someone miraculously sent this to her. Anyway, all jokes aside, man. Like it's really sometimes you do have to go about it on your own. If you have that vision, you've planned it out. You've done all the research, you've done all the hard work.
But lay that out to what that looks like, because what you're saying gives the impression that you're telling this man or other people in general to be deceptive.
And withhold
information from their partners and go and do a thing. And if it works, hey, here's the spoils. And if it doesn't, ask for forgiveness.
No. That's not what I mean.
Okay, please clear that up.
That's not whatever you son of a bitch.
That's what I heard.
You motherfucking guy.
I heard lacerations.
Are you guys finished? You motherfuckers. So you have this conversation with her about what your vision is, what you plan on doing, how she can possibly be involved in this whole effort. And if she is conservative, extremely conservative, with finances, of course, you're going to get pushback. You lay out everything, and then you let her know that this is what I plan to do, and you do it anyway.
I'll give you a perfect example, okay?
I'm going to put you in my house, okay? The house
in your Nigerian culture house.
No, listen, don't do that. Does
your African heritage play a role in the way that you and your wife do marriage?
It affects us in some degree. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's why I mentioned it because I think that's important.
We've both been in the United States long enough that it is there's a balance. You make it seem like I just got off the fucking boat yesterday. Don't do that, nigga. God damn.
You got to just talk about how you handled your kids after the fucking fire. You want me to give you a benefit of the doubt
Elgin, show me some grace, please.
You will never get it.
No, but sometimes you got to, because you're not promised anything. Whether you go in on it with both of you fully blown or you go in on your own, like I said, I'm gonna give you a little insight. The house that we're in currently, right? My wife, for the longest time, when we were looking for this house, I told her that I think it's time for us to buy a house. We need to buy a house. We're going to be paying rent on the place that we've been in for a long time, and it's going to continue to increase, and we're not getting anything from it. And she's financially conservative. She's like, I don't think that we're ready. I don't think that they were ready at all. So I said, when are you going to be ready? She's like, I don't know, but I don't think they were ready. So I was like, okay. So I started doing all the research, laying on the groundwork and all that other stuff, and found a realtor, found the mortgage broker, did all that. And we ended up, long story short, we bought the house, right? We got the house after her completely not being on board about jumping in financially to get this house.
You did the research, you went and extended yourself, and you brought it to your wife.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's not the way you painted it, my guy. And I'm being serious here, in all seriousness.
Okay. So how did I paint it then?
You painted it as if these people in relationships should just go ahead and do it, and on the other side, either ask for forgiveness, you know, ask for forgiveness if it goes wrong. Like, you painted it in such a way that people should just step out behind their partner's back
I want to make sure I'm very clear. I am not saying that you should be deceptive.
and a machete.
And the pepper and the bear spray. Mind you, she just added the bear spray.
She'll need the bear. But, oh yeah, she does now because you got the face of a bear now. So it makes sense.
My boots are ready to kick you in every crevice in your motherfucking. But no, you gotta have.
Man, look like cocaine bear up on his joint. But go ahead,
Elgin. Chester, it's not too far, my guy. I'm gonna come and fucking meet you.
But go ahead, clear
but
up here.
But you know you've got to have these. You've got to lay everything. You've got to lay everything out on the floor.
All the information. Folks know where
you got to. Even if you decide ultimately just to be like, "F it, I'm going to do it anyway." You got to. It's you don't know. You can't say that they didn't know. You laid everything out. And you take the repercussions as they come after the fact. I mean, sometimes you just got to. Sometimes you got to. Because let's keep it funky. We've all been in a position.
Maybe with your girlfriend, hold on, real quick.
We've all been in a position, whether with our marriage or with close relationships, where the person that you're dealing with doesn't see your vision, and even after breaking it down and explaining it, they still don't see your vision, right? But that shouldn't stop you from trying to complete this vision, right?
Well, true.
Should that stop you and say, okay, well, I'm not going to venture into this deal because my partner, my friend, whoever is like, nah, they're against it? What type of life is that?
Oh, my guy. I'm going to be honest with you. That is purely situational, whether or not I would say.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, you know, sacrifice and say no or yes. Yeah, if it's going to cause me to ultimately possibly ruin or lose that relationship, I might lean more on the not doing it aspect than I would actually pursue it because that relationship means that much. But I understand what you're saying.
That's fair. That's fair.
I do. But
at least delay it.
Yeah, at least delay it. But I think the point that we're making to my man Taylor here is, bro, this is another example for people who are in relationships who are pursuing long-term monogamous relationships, that they actually have these incredibly crucial conversations. Have the conversations that you never think are going to come up in a relationship.
Yeah.
Have those conversations. That's the conversation you have. That the ones that you never believe are going to show up in your relationship, about the situation that you never believe are going to show up in your relationship, talk about those things. Don't talk about the shit that you already know, that she fucking likes strawberry jelly, you know, that light butter. Don't talk about that shit. Talk about what happens if she meets somebody that she's attracted to. How do you guys navigate that? How do you navigate if she loses her job and she's not able to pay her portion of the bills? How does she navigate if you get injured and you're not able to work for an extended period of time and provide? Have those conversations because they'll display a level of understanding of where you guys are. And oftentimes, honestly, man, it'll prevent you guys from making decisions about your future that'll be really difficult to get out of as you go further in time.
I give you that. Yeah. I give you that. Definitely. So thank you, Taylor, man. We appreciate you writing in, man. Best of luck to you, man. I hope you guys figure it out. L, what do we have on deck next? I think you wanted to talk about that 14-year-old in South Carolina?
Yeah, but I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Since we talked about the young brother earlier with the police shooting, I don't want to talk about another shooting tonight, man. That's too fucking heavy. I want to talk about some fucking evil white people. I think that's a much better topic to go into.
Perfect.
Last year, Hulu put out an absolute phenomenal TV series called Dope Sick. And honestly, when I'm watching, well, I'll share that in a moment. Dope Sick was about a small minor town that was ultimately the hotbed, the birthplace of the OxyContin abuse that we see taking place, the opioid crisis. It's where many believe it began in white communities. Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal series. Well acted. Michael Keaton deserved every fucking award he can possibly get. It painted a side of this real life company called Purdue Pharma. Purdue Pharma manufactures pain medicines such as hydromorphone, oxycodone, fentanyl, codeine, hydrocodone, and ultimately they are the creators of OxyContin. And if you know anything about OxyContin was one of the drugs that was marketed to doctors first as a way of addressing the pain management of their patients, because a lot of the previous medications worked on a real stringent small time cycle, right? But with OxyContin, when taken on a 12-hour schedule, they believed and pushed in their marketing had lower abuse potential, right? So it lowered the ability and opportunity for addiction. This is what this particular company, Purdue Pharma, marketed towards doctors, right? Through seminars, through money, through all these different things. And this particular series that I'm talking about on Hulu documents and outlines the intentionality of it. And you can just Google Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, it'll demonstrate and show you how this. So one of the reasons why this particular story popped up for me is here recently, this particular family, Sackler family, who are behind the Purdue Pharma company.
Today, clearing the way for OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma's settlement of thousands of legal claims over the toll of opioids. The court approved a plan that would make members of the wealthy Sackler family give up ownership of Purdue, which would become a new company known as NOA, with its profits being used to fight the opioid crisis. Today's decision also protects members of the Sackler family from lawsuits over the toll of opioids.
Many of the people who were affected by these, the OxyContin specifically, opioid crisis aspect, they came together and filed a huge lawsuit against Purdue Pharma. Mm-hmm. These people won this particular lawsuit, and ultimately this lawsuit was going to have to pay these people out $6 billion settlement. Yeah, now, I want to be clear with that. A little bit over, key word here that I think people often overlook when we talk about this is the word settlement. That means that both sides came together and negotiated this particular price. This does not go to a trial. A lawyer did not, or a judge did not say that it had to be paid. They came to agreement. And one of the things that the Sackler family did, they were really strategic in trying to keep their name clean in the process. So while all of these companies and these businesses and these institutions, these colleges that had Sackler buildings that was for their medical, they was
endowments
like
and all of
endowments.
That
it was like, if these companies or these institutions remove our names in their press release, they can't talk bad about us. Like, that was part of the agreement. They can't say anything disparaging about us. So the key thing here was really important for me was that the immunity that this family ultimately gets is they are not ever going to be held personally responsible for this. That's the key part of the settlement. And when you do your research, whether you just do a real brief and surface level researching on Google, you'll find how this particular family were absolutely integral and the leaders of getting the opioid crisis started. Like, the parts of the family, you had lead doctors of Purdue Pharma whose last name was Sackler, these are probably some of the most evil people who ever walked the planet. Because this is the point that I want people to understand, and I'll open it up for you guys, is when the deaths toll, the overdoses and the death tolls of people dying from OxyContin began to rise and began to investigate, Purdue Pharma didn't stop producing OxyContin. They did not stop pushing it on doctors. They did not stop pushing it in their seminars. They did not stop lying on documents. What Purdue Pharma actually did was went back into the lab and tried to figure out more effective ways
to work around this.
This is how insidious. So while people are dying from this, right? And so when we talk about big pharma, Purdue Pharma is one of the big examples of what big pharma is and how these things. So the immunity thing for me, man, was something that was really shocking. I understand why the families or the people in the lawsuits agreed to offer and allow these folks to have immunity. But at the same time, when you begin to unpack some of the amounts of money that these people were going to be getting, some of these people are only going to be getting like $3,500.
If that.
Yep. If that. Right? And so they said one of the things I read was like low side, $3,500, high side, $48,000 to $50,000. Mm-hmm. But that small amount also tells you what? Out of $6 billion, how many people were affected?
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, easily. I think one of the things that we need to talk about, honestly, is once again, like Eldrin was saying, is the marketing arm that they use to push this medication.
It was
pushed, and I use push intentionally, push on doctors. Besides the seminars, they used to do tailor-made commercials that they would send to hospitals and to doctors' offices. They were
leaning on that legally to continue pushing OxyContin.
Well, that and the fact that they were literally sending doctors out on 3-day vacations, like a group of doctors on 3-day vacations to go to some secluded area where they would pitch them the medicine and take them like all inclusive. And it's all like inclusive. you spending that type of money to push this medication out
and knowing that it's a day.
I think at one point they actually left an older version of some kind of regulation on some large county. And they said that's what we went by. We didn't come to find out the shit was altered and all this other bullshit. And they were handing out that graphic like across states, saying this is the regulation, this is the rule, this is what we go by.
Not knowing that it was antiquated and out of
date. The pain management aspect of healthcare has been an issue for years.
For
a long
ass time.
We understand that. The pain management aspect has been an issue for years. It's one of the reasons why you have cocaine in the form that you have, because cocaine in its early stages was used as a form of pain management. Also alcohol, right? We morphine, know how that shit. Morphine, all those things. So when people are living with severe pain from just back injuries or just things that are never going to heal properly, they're looking for something to be able to do their everyday life with pain free. And but that's let's keep it funky.
That was its initial intent.
Oh yeah. But after
the way they were the way they were pumping it out, they were giving it for just about anything. It was so loose. You could come in and it's like, "Doc, I've had a toothache for the past 2-3 days. You're like, "Okay. Slide you with some fucking Oxy." Instead of saying, "Well, you know, this shit is some strong shit, to go take some extra strength Tylenol and be all right." They're like, no, since they're like essentially these doctors, at some degree, for lack of a better description, they were getting paid to pump this shit out. And I'll tell you, some of the marketing folks, what do you want to call it? What do they call those folks?
PR.
Not just the PR, the folks that actually go to doctors' offices and do the pitch.
Oh yeah. The salespeople.
The sales reps. They were making hand over fist. They were making money hand over fist.
It felt a little Ponzi-ish.
My guy, they were making tons of bro. Tons of dough.
But if you were the top sales rep in your region,
man, you were killing it.
You were that dude.
Farmer was sending you on vacation.
You
were
practically a millionaire.
Yes.
But half the kids in your local high school are strung out.
You
don't have kids, so it doesn't really matter.
And how they have the pain management, that pain management form now that they have in doctors, where if you're at a zero, if you're at this smiley face, if you're at this one, it came from these motherfuckers here. So if you were at a 7, they were like, oh, well, here, we have this thing here.
And it's your pain said, scale. And it got to the point that because of the benefits the doctors were getting, they were influencing or telling their staff to be like, hey, if someone says that they're at a 5 or a 6, you tell them, hey, are you sure you think are you're
sure?
At a
5?
You sure it's not a, yeah, you sure you're not a 7? You sure you don't think it's a 7 or an 8? Like, well, you know, it has been aching me. Like, yeah, I think I'm an 8. And that's how the cycle kept moving,
It's while one of the most knowing that it was addictive and killing people.
I mean, the worst part about the OxyContin is that, you know, for those cases where the pain management was needed, the effect was almost miraculous for these people. You know what I'm saying? Like truly miraculous for them. And it was actually like turning their life around within weeks. But then they realized, wait a minute, I really need this shit. And my stomach will not stop turning itself upside down until I take some more.
Talk less about all the side effects.
Like, my life is great now, but I just can't eat without taking an Oxy.
Yeah. It's like that, man.
And the last part about it is also, is I want to highlight this, is we have spent years in the Black community hollering and screaming about the war on Black people via drugs. That there are countless Black and brown people, and I say brown people specifically here, because they're criminalized for their couriership for the drugs into the country, right? That are sitting behind bars right now. And these motherfuckers here who are responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths and a whole crisis are not only going to be without any sort of legal issues, they're still going to remain billionaires.
Don't forget the company's the one that takes the hit. They're not taking the financial hit.
So still they're
getting away essentially scot-free.
They're getting away scot-free. They were able to kill hundreds of thousands of people, make billions of dollars off of it, and still remain scot-free. This is America.
Yeah. Tonight is the start of the NBA Finals, man.
Oh, boy.
You see, Eldridge, you know what it is? Eldridge's butthole is tight. Eldridge's butthole puckered up because he thought that the Sixers were going to be in it. He's been sour since his favorite African in the whole world fell out of the damn, out of fucking contention. But I'm going to ask you, Elgin, listen, the NBA Finals starts tonight. Two of the most, I think, unseen teams are going to be playing in the finals tonight. The Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Nobody, I don't think anybody had them at the top of their booking to get to the finals. Who do you think is going to take it in the finals?
To be absolutely honest, I will not watch more than 5 seconds of this playoffs.
Is that because Embiid is not in it?
No, largely because I am uninterested in watching the Denver Nuggets play the Miami Heat in the finals.
Because you think both teams are...
I think both teams lack... I just think it's going to be boring. I don't think anything... But I believe that the Denver Nuggets are going to wear the Miami Heat's ass out from one end of the court to the next end of the court. I believe they are going to sweep the Miami Heat in historic faction. I don't think the Miami Heat have a fucking shot in hell.
You don't think Jimmy's got any chance, man?
If you watched the first three quarters of game 7 between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, literally the first three quarters, the Miami Heat were absolutely spent. The only reason the Miami Heat, and I'll be clear, the only reason the Miami Heat won that game is because the Boston Celtics are literally a trash can on fire, which at the same time speaks terribly about my own team that they beat.
We are
a dumpster fire compared to what the fucking Celtics are. And I believe it's just not a compelling series. And I'm a basketball fan, man. I'm diehard. I love Jokic. I think Jokic is fucking phenomenal. But this is for you. It doesn't do anything for me, man. It reminds me of the recent Super Bowls, right? It's really? Like, yeah, you know, I'll watch because it's the Super Bowl, but yeah.
What would have made an exciting game? You know, speaking as the, you know, the sports ball
guy. Because looking at teams with personalities.
I think teams with personalities. I think Denver in and of itself has enough going for it that makes it exciting. Mm-hmm. I think they have the talent. They have the personality with fucking Jokic, who is.
However,
the Miami Heat are an underrated, under-talented team compared to the Denver Nuggets, right? Mm-hmm. They have one star in Jimmy Butler, who, you know, is going to leave everything out on the court. But outside of that, they got a bunch of fucking players that, you know, you can show up at the Y and give you fucking buckets.
This dude Eldridge is a fucking hater all day. You heard what he said? These niggas made it to the NBA. You know how many people made it to the NBA? Listen, you know how many people have made it to the NBA? There's literally less than like 5,000 people in the history have made it to the NBA. This nigga said that he called them YMCA players.
The point that I'm making is they are not nearly a talented team as the Denver Nuggets. They have four fucking players that can absolutely
they can drop 20 dominate. On you easily. Yeah,
easy. Their fourth best player is probably, if not as good as Jimmy Butler, right under fucking Jimmy Butler.
I give you that. But hold up. This is the thing. I think once again, like you hit a spot on the head. I think that there is a lack of personality and spark or charisma.
Really?
The Denver Nuggets remind me of the fucking Spurs with Tim Duncan. Like, you have a dominant ass team, but they're as bland as fucking toast.
They don't have a bad personality. They don't have any.
They don't have any personality.
They're no assholes.
Oh no. They're all everyone's
really nice.
They're all nice guys. Really nice.
They're all very kumbaya-ish. Let's take a step back. Your boy Jokic did flame out. Who did he push from behind like that? Almost snapped the whole boy's neck.
Morris.
And when he snapped Morris's neck.
And I think that's
snapped that boy half.
That storyline is part of the thing that the NBA is trying to hype up, because that was in the bubble with the Miami Heat versus the Denver Nuggets.
True. But that was Jimmy 3 years ago, and that shit's
Jimmy Butler since been wanted bad. To fight the whole Denver, which he would have lost. Yeah. Right? I love you, Jimmy. I think you're one of the greatest.
He would have. Hold on. Let's not forget the Jokic. I think comes from like Serbia or some shit like that. Right?
No. I don't know. It doesn't come from nice area Serbia.
No.
War torn.
Listen.
Serbia.
What's funny is the dude that he pushed was like.
Is it from North Philly?
The dude he pushed, his brother responded on Twitter and was like, "Yo, you're not going to do that to my brother. We stand up for one another and shit like that, right?" His brothers, like I said, he comes from war torn Serbia. The brothers came online, was like,
"His brothers responded, no, you said, don't want this.
You don't want this. You don't know where we come from and what we do. If you want peace, just stay where you at."
Two war-torn communities going ahead. Niggas, man. You're Philly and Serbia. Going ahead.
Philly versus Serbia. North Philly versus Serbia.
Dropping those bodies and then the both
sides. Bodies and beards everywhere.
Bodies
and beards. Ridiculous.
But what's funny is that after his brothers made that comment, though, you see the beef died real quick. because there's been rumors in the NBA that his brothers really like. They're like hitmen in Serbia. Like they got real bodies. But it is what it is. All right. Right about now is the time we'd like to give a little tip.
Before we fast forward, did you hear the news in sports media?
If you say about fucking Shannon Sharpe, I'm going to kick you in your ass.
I think that is bigger news than the fucking NBA Finals.
Okay. Let's take a couple minutes, a couple minutes to discuss.
Yeah, just
this.
A short bit. I don't want to talk about these motherfuckers.
Do you think that this is a good move? Me, for one, I think this is a perfect move for him.
It was a move he should have made a long time ago.
Honestly, no, I don't. In my estimation, I was not watching. I don't watch the show at all, but I like the clips and stuff. I don't watch it for Skip Bayless. I watch to hear what Shannon Sharpe's got to say. He's been able to then parlay that into Club Shay Shay, which his episodes, he can chop his his almost 2 hour long episodes get to almost 2 million views. And then he chops it up, and then each one of the chop ups gets almost 1 million. I'm just amazed
at how he was able to get, I mean, A list celebrities
one after the other want to talk to this nigga.
The gates. And I'm like,
they want to talk to him, guy.
You want to talk to this likable?
He's likable.
It's something about his personality, though. Don't get it twisted. It's something about his personality.
About his personality, I'll be fair. I don't know what it is about his personality that people want to open up to.
They gravitate to him, my guy.
Yeah. So he did a brilliant.
I think he's a genuinely warm personality.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant.
The best part about it is that he's getting a buyout. So he gets to leave ahead of his contract. Yeah. They're going to pay him all of his money.
He's taking his podcast, too.
He's taking his podcast, which is the best.
Which is a little weird. I'm like, usually they hold on to at least one property.
Well, maybe he created it outside of the venue.
No, it was on Fox. It was on the Fox platform, man.
But he probably left some money. I'm sure he left some money on the table then. He probably left some money on the table to take the podcast with him.
Probably. One of our homies was talking. He's in marketing. I was talking to one of our homeboys. He's in marketing. He was like, the only way this is really going to work for him is if he stays in the public light. He doesn't see him flourishing the way he is flourishing now with just the podcast, because he needs to, what Undisputed gave to him was a constant venue into other people's homes that made them then go back and watch Club Shay Shay. So if he's gone away from TV for too long.
Shay Shay, by the way, Shannon, I ain't calling no grown ass black man no fucking shit.
That's his show, nigga. Just stop hating on this guy.
I'll just call him Mr. Shaw.
I ain't doing that. I'm
Mr. Shaw. You motherfuckers, man.
Hey, Shannon, whatever you do, don't carry your dark skin ass over to ESPN. Okay?
No.
Could you
please do
could you see the could bag, you see the him,
gonna be stupid.
Him and gonna you know what I'm going to say? Could you see him and Stephen A? Could you see him and Stephen A going back and forth?
And you know what? The funny part about it is, I think it would be brilliant from a standpoint for Shannon to do it for a short term. But I think him and Stephen A are on a show together, ESPN loses as a business, because your whole brand now at this point in time are Stephen A. Smith and Shannon fucking Sharp. Like, your whole brand essentially now, what you do when it comes to basketball specifically, is Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A.
The face of you, and you have nobody else.
But hold on.
Chris Berman. To be fair,
they did just drop Pat McAfee the bag to bring him over and leave. They paid an ass load of money to bring old boy over. So I don't see it being out of the realm of possibility.
It wasn't for us to
listen. I mean, it wasn't for you. But my point is, I don't see it being out of the realm of possibility for them to drop the bag on Shannon and be like, come on over. We know that you got something. You got a following. We want the eyes. That's what it's all about. They want the eyes so that they can sell these ads to them.
I guess good for Shannon. I don't think it's a bad idea financially.
Yeah, it's not.
You go over there for a year or two, man, and build your platform up even more and get the fuck out of there. Next thing you know, you'll probably be a dumbass who runs for politics.
Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Right about now is the time we'd like to give you little tidbits of news or words of wisdom that you can take with yourself into the week. L, what's up, man?
And I don't really have much, man, besides it's the summertime. And when it gets summer, we know what happens in
craziness,
poverty-stricken communities, man. The violence goes up, and I'm just really deeply concerned about, particularly Philadelphia, man. The violence is absolutely out of control. Young people are committing heinous acts against young people, and I don't necessarily have any solutions or answers for anybody. My only word of advice, man, was just keep your head on the swivel, one in the chamber, and a full tank of gas.
They've been taking money out of these after school and summer work programs for the longest time, man. Kids don't got nothing to do. They just be out there in the streets, man. What can you do about it, man?
Like that's going to be like.
Yeah, man. Scary.
Crush, what you got, man?
Man, not much really to myself, but I will note that apparently Dr. Dre is very excited for Snoop's new album that he's doing with him.
Well, yeah. His homeboy. I'd be hyped for my homeboy too, I guess. So we'll see.
All this time,
Snoop hasn't dropped. When Snoop's last album was what, almost 5 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a few years. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what I want to do is actually shout out Danny Brown, because a clip of him is going around again about some comments he made about, you know, how, you know, the young generation, the rap artists think that the older generation hates on them. But the truth is just that, you know, we haven't recognized inequality yet. And he makes a good point. He's like, nobody is, you know, because at the end of the day, I don't want to hate y'all. I want y'all to be better than us. And Danny was like, none of you cats have done anything close to Cuban Links, and you had every chance to do it for the past 13 years.
Yeah,
right. Like, that's the only thing we want y'all to do. We want y'all to do better than the shit we did.
And we gotta talk about about Snoop as a rapper at some point.
Do better, you know what I'm saying?
Please, because God, man.
So you're not a fan of Snoop? Is that what I'm garnering for? What you're saying?
Which Snoop are we talking about? It would be the question.
I mean, this Snoop.
Let's ask the pivotal question. What is the last Snoop album that you enjoyed? If you say Doggy Style, I'm gonna slap you. If you say Doggy Style, I'm gonna slap you.
I mean, Snoop's had a good 3-4 albums that were really good.
Yeah, no, he's had good albums.
Three or four albums, specifically,
is the transition in his rap style. You know who else did the same thing? Cube did the same thing. If we listen to early Cube albums to later Cube albums, that's a conversation I want to hear one day.
No, we all know the album that we don't like, where he had the nerve to wear a top hat.
But why did he change?
When black men don't wear top hats. This man wear a top hat in his damn album.
Cube was one of the greatest storytellers that we had in early hip hop.
Yeah.
But after a while,
he did return to form on one album. He returned to form on one album called Laugh Now, Cry Later.
Oh, no, that no, album, no, no, no.
He returned to complete form on that album. It sounded like old Cube.
Well, like I said, keep it funky. Everybody can't be the same for. There's very few of us that stay the same forever. The only artist I can think off the top of my head that I can think of that's been Talib's been the same since day one. His style has not changed. He's just been that consistent dude. But look at Jay-Z from 22 Twos to now to the 444 album. Like they're not the same Jay at all.
And that 444 album, that's part of my gospel right there. I love that album.
And this is what it is. All right, what's up for me this week, man, is honestly just
love. Check the your people. Smoke detector in your house, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, all them Joneses is working, my guy. All them Joneses is working.
Make sure you have a good fire extinguisher that actually fucking
works.
Fire retardant gloves.
Yeah, no bullshit.
Burning appliances.
A fully formed body fire retardant jacket and shit. Anyway, what's up for me is just hug and love upon the people that you have an opportunity to hug and love upon right now while you still can love upon them, man. One of our homegirls, friend of the show, lost her mom the day before Mother's Day.
Right, right. And shout out to our sister, Kang. Shout out to our sister Lori.
I went to the funeral, man, and I've only gotten a chance. I've never met her mom.
I'm so sorry I couldn't make it.
I only got a chance to talk to her, and it just reminded me. It just, like I said, like with many other things, it just reminded me, man. Like, we gotta take full advantage and give the flowers to those people that we love and that are here that love us, because we never know when they're going to be gone, man. It's a
Lori was dressed like old girl from The Watchmen at BlurCon, right?
Yes, indeed.
She killed that. I still have that picture.
She did kill that. She did.
That's our sister right there.
She killed it. She's not my sister, so she killed it. I mean, I can say that.
I mean, she's me and old Jesus.
Elgin makes sure everybody knows all the boundaries.
Well, you know, I'm all about Emmy like Vin Diesel, you know what I'm saying?
Used to. Love those people that you can love while you can love them, man, because you never know when that opportunity is going to end. So, Crush, where can folks find you if they want to find you, man?
Man, they can find me on Instagram as usual at SP Methods. There'll be a lot going down really soon for the summertime with my man T. Lucas and a few other guys. Looking forward to it.
No doubt. L, where can folks find you?
Twitter at Elgin Bailey.
Okay, no doubt. And I'm Big O, Mr. In the Black himself. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @MR_InTheBlack. And I want to thank you guys for joining us for another incredible episode of the In the Black podcast. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to kick it with us, and we appreciate it. Make sure you follow us across social media at In the Black PDCST on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Come on over to our YouTube. Make sure you check that out. Finesse that thumbs up. Hit the subscribe. Check out past episodes of our show at our website, www.intheblackpodcast.com. And if you really want to be down, you know you can join the family over at our Patreon. No doubt. So thank you once again. But as always, until next time, informed, intelligent, in the black.
In the black.
Peace.
This is the In the Black podcast.
In the Black, bro. Hands down, one of the best podcasts I ever heard, though. I like y'all. Brethren, what up? I'm Brother Black up here, Brethren. Listen, in the Black podcast, they y'all lad, it's all facts. You don't like that, then fall back. In the Black podcast, don't talk trash. Switch fast if you ain't raw, then go whack. Informed, intelligent elements, always relevant. Not for the weak and delicate. This is eloquent excellence. We are setting the precedence. Rest of them are excrement. In the Black podcast, the truth like the testament. Don't know, Black up here, bro. I'm not a specialist. Know what the podcast broadcast. Young best with this. Like said, they my cheat. Who no do it so effortless. I listen, them I learn. When them listen, them I benefit. Reporting current events. Everything that is prevalent. This is so exquisite. A scientific experiment. Giving you the news, not views without evidence. Telling you the truth, sentiments without embellishments. Relax, these are the facts. Bringing them to your residence. In your house or your tenement. Listen to hear intelligence. Body filled with melanin. Power that's so acetylene. Bright in the stars. Bringing some light back to the desolate. In the Black podcast, they go. Your lad is all facts, you don't like that before. In the Black podcast, they on top. Who if you watch Black up here, chat me, young flop. In the Black podcast, they your lad is all facts, you don't like that before. In the Black podcast, we all lost. The whole of them can't, none of them can't trust. Yeah. Just like that, though. Yeah, man, I saw that. Mr. In the Black himself. What up, DJ?
This is